everything that we do, we need to give God the glory and be excited. You know, sometimes it really bothers me. We in the church, we have everything, and sometimes it seems like we don't get excited that we have the glory of God. And that's what we're going to try to do this week. We're going to try to get built up, get excited, and try to encourage you in the love of the Lord. And we're going to have simple gospel sermons, and hopefully that you have your Bibles with you today, and that we follow along in God's Word. Our lesson this morning, in just a few moments, that we will be looking at comes from James, and we're going to look at James chapter 1. And Brother Joel, how you get this on? Right here. Since I left here, I have developed a hobby. I don't do hunting and fishing, and it's galore down in South Georgia where I'm from. But I take pictures. I do nature photography. And one of the things I did one day is a fella has a farm, has a place, and I went down on his land and went to a beehive. You ever seen a beehive in a tree? There was thousands of bees, and he said, "You got to be one with the bees." And so I eased up and got real close, and it never bothered me, and I got some great shots. But I love God's nature. I love the illustrations that it teaches, and I love to take God's beauty. Sunsets and sunrises, it just touches my heart to see what God gives. Just think of all the beauty that God gives us here. Can you imagine what heaven's going to look like if all the beauty that we get here? Just share with you this. There was one thing that I've thought about all my life, God knows the reason for every purpose. This past week, we've been preaching the gospel some 39 years, and in every step of the way, there's been heartaches, there's been problems, there's been frustrations, there's been things come our way, but the Lord will not leave us. He will always be with us. Sometimes we forget that, don't we? So please don't forget that this week, that God is not going to leave you, and He's not going to forsake you. Let's look at, turn over there and look at James chapter 1. And our first point today is probably a very familiar to all of you. And James is one of my favorite writers in the Bible. He tells it like it is, you might say. And it was inspired from the Holy Spirit. And when we look down, and we're going to read some of these texts here, and as we look into the text, then we're going to evaluate what James is saying. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let it every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if a man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds." And one reason why I wanted to bring this lesson today is one thing that I work on in my life. I'm going to be honest with you. I have some problems sometimes not listening like you should. Sometimes I don't listen like I should. My wife reminds me of that one. And also that, you know, sometimes we speak before we listen, don't we? You ever heard the old saying is you put your big foot up in your mouth? Well, I have done that many, many times. If only I would have been listening instead of speaking. And James brings this very beautifully out in the text that we need to do that. A lot of times, folks, are not listening to what God says, that they want to put their opinion, they want to put their thoughts in what they think God is saying, and we can't do that. We have to listen to see exactly what He's saying to you and I. One of the things I deal with is a lot of people, now we know in the religious world, we know that we battle this. A lot of people don't listen to what God is saying. But I have dealt with this with members of the body of Christ. A lot of times they want to change, pervert, and tweak those scriptures the way that they want them. And we can't do that. We got to take it exactly what God says. God said it. We got to accept it. And He means it, doesn't He? And we have to remember that in our Christian lives. So let's look. It says, every man be swift to hear. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about hearing. How many times you remember, especially over in the book of Revelation, especially in some of the Gospels, Jesus states this, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. You know, when you look at many of the parables of the wise and foolish man, he says what? He says, hear these sayings. Jesus said that a lot. Hear these sayings of mine. So what he's saying, listen. He's saying, listen. And but the reason why we need to be swift to hear, because a lot of times we miss out. We are not hearing. I know as I have gotten older, I have developed, I don't know how many of you have dealt with this or maybe going through this, one of the toughest things that I ever went through in my life because it messed with me mentally, tinnitus. You know what tinnitus, where you have the ringing? Well, my ringing in my ears never stopped. And I have developed that, and also I have a hard time hearing the high-pitched sounds. I've lost the high-pitched sounds. So I have problem hearing, and my wife says I just use that. Just use that as an excuse not to hear the things she's telling me to do. But honestly, I have a hard time hearing these things. And a lot of times, you know, people, we do that with the Lord. Yeah, I see it. Yeah, I see it. I read it there. But I really don't, I'm not hearing it. So we have to be swift to hear God's word. You know, my friends, on the day of judgment, not going to have an excuse that we didn't have the written word. We're not going to have an excuse to not know what we need to do. We got to rightly divide the word of God. We got to examine it. We got to study it daily to figure out what God would have us to do in His life. It's right there, but we got to take it and use it in our lives. Let's look at our next, slow to speak. Now, you know, the Bible has a lot to say about the tongue, doesn't it? You know, James, when you flip over a couple of chapters and look at James chapter 3, that's one of my favorite chapters on about the tongue. Then Solomon says a whole lot about the tongue in the book of Proverbs, doesn't he? But this morning, I want to look at a few passages of Scripture, if you would. And I just want to look here at some of the Scriptures that talk about the tongue and why it's so important to be slow to speak. You ever had someone come up to you and, you know, and they just come and hear part of the conversation, and then they may get mad at you and get excited because they didn't hear the whole conversation. So we got to listen to see exactly what's being said. Take your Bibles, if you would, I love participation. If someone would read 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10 for me. Brother Dennis, you got that for me? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. And listen to what Peter is stating about the tongue here. That's a beautiful statement, isn't it? He that see good days, we're going to have good days in our life. He says, what did Peter say? Refrain your lips from evil. So God does hold us accountable to what we say and to how we speak. You know, sometimes our attitudes can be right in the middle of what we say, can't we? So we have to look and see exactly to what how that relates in my life, because my speech should be seasoned with salt. How I speak should be giving God the glory. How I speak should say that by the way that I'm talking, that you can find in my heart and in my life that I am a Christian. Just by the way I am speaking, just by the way that I am acting, we can find it. All right, someone turn over to Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, if you would. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6. And read that for me. Boy, that says it, doesn't it? Let our speech be with grace. How we speak. You know, when Jesus was speaking, there were many who would be listening. And just by the way Jesus was speaking, when he was here upon this earth, people knew that he was different, didn't they? They knew that there was difference about Jesus Christ. And there should be a difference about us. Here on Sunday morning, we hear blessing God. We're here today praying to God. We're here today to build up one another in the glory of God. But as I'm here and I'm speaking of God's word, I'm talking, seeing all these things, but I turn and walk outside those doors and there's things coming out of my mouth that's contrary to God's word and contrary to what teaches that should be coming out of my heart, then there's something wrong with it. James talks about that, doesn't he? He says in James chapter 3 that it shouldn't, a fountain is not going to bring forth bitter and sweet out of the same fountain. You know, we can't bless and curse God out of the same mouth. Out of one corner over here, okay, God, I love you. I appreciate you. You're doing all that you want for me, and you are the great God. And then out of the other side, then I'm cursing and feuding and fighting with my brothers and sisters in Christ. These things ought not to be. They should be the same thing coming forth out of my heart to tell who I am. And that should be that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is living in our hearts every day, not just on Sunday. Religion is not just a Sunday religion. A lot of people think it's just a Sunday religion, but it's 24/7 every day that we live to give God to glory. Now look with me, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. Ephesians 4 and 29. Someone read that for me. Oh, man, did you hear that? You know, I don't know if it bothers you, but there could be, and I'm going to confess to you, there could be five people say, hey, Brother Lamb, I appreciate you, I appreciate the sermon today, and one person come out and say, man, that's the sorriest thing I've heard. Guess which one's going to bother me the most? I mean, you know, affect me. You know, a lot of that negative. You know, there's so much negative in this world today. So much negative in this life. You look at on the news, what do you find? Negativism. You know, even in the Lord's church, we find that we need to not with flattery, just trying to get a do something, but we need to build one another up, you know, and help, you know, show that love toward one another. Now, look with me, if someone turn over to Matthew chapter 15. And verse 11, Matthew chapter 15 and verse 11. Just want to give you some scriptures on about the tongue and why it's so important to be slow in our speech. When you're turning over there, you ever been one quick, you know, quick, sometimes we're quick to speak, and then when we get through, I sure wish I'd have kept my mouth shut. Because once a word is spoken, brethren, you're not going to get it back. All right, who has Matthew 15, 11? I don't know if you, Brother Dennis, may have faced this situation, but being a gospel preacher, I meet a lot of people. And I've been around a lot of people, you know, meet them for the first time, and they don't know that I am a preacher or a Christian. And they'll start speaking in such of a way that is very not becoming. They have profanity and using off-colored words and things like that. But once they find out that I am a gospel preacher, guess what happens? Boy, they stick it up just like Bugs Bunny. You know, everything changed. But listen, you know, that's what's in your heart, and you got to change that heart. If you're going to change what you're speaking, what you're saying, where you're going, what you're doing, guess what, brethren? It's got to start with the heart. It's got to start with the heart. And I pray that, you know, that's where we need to start, in the heart, because that's where God looks. God looks on in the heart. One more passage, then we're going to move on. Look at Proverbs chapter 21 and verses 23. Proverbs 21 and passage 23. Whoever has that can read it. Isn't that a good thing to think upon? Whoever keeps his mouth, keep himself from trouble. Wars have been started over words. You know, there's people lost their life because of words. And words can hurt. You know, you hear the little saying, sticks and stones, you know, it's not going to hurt me. You know, break my bones, but not going to hurt me. But they do. Words can hurt deeply. You know, I can't help but think about all the things that was said to Jesus Christ. All the ugly things that was said to his face. And he was there on the cross, and he says to all those that's there, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, there's been times when literally I have been cursed out. You know, and when I, in my younger preacher days, and when I was a younger fella, I sort of puffed up a little bit and said, no, you ain't going to talk to me like that. But as I've gotten older and studied deeper into the Word of God, I began to pray for those folks and love them back. Show that kind of, yeah, even though people are being angry and mad and fussing at you, show them that you love them. That's what Jesus did. He was crucified. Right, yes, sir, bro. And because, you know, a lot of people, you know, we're supposed to forgive and forget. A lot of people don't do that, do they? They'll let that fester. And many people have left the Lord's church and hold grudges for many, many years. Can't do that. I'm quite sure there's been things maybe been said to you through the years, but you can't. You know, I see people all the time. They keep wanting to go back and live in the past. We can't do that. We got to let it go. Great point. Appreciate that, Dan. We just can't dwell on that, can we? Just can't keep dwelling on that. That's right. All right, let's look at the... Yes, sir, go ahead, brother. Yes, sir. You got to move on, don't you? All right, let's look at James 1:19 says, got to be slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. I can remember, a lot of you remember when I was growing up, one of the biggest in the... on the playground at school, the biggest fights was over somebody saying something about their mother. You know, don't you talk about my mother. You know, big fights come out of that. You know, but I'm here to tell you that there's things been said to me that I have to go in and sort of calm myself down, and so I don't let that wrath come out, because we get mad, we get angry, we're going to say things, do things that's not becoming of a Christian. So we have to be very careful of that, don't we? You know, look at Jesus. He was pushed every day, wasn't he? They tried to push his buttons every day. But he didn't show that wrath. Now, he got mad, you know, when the money changers in the temple. You remember that? But what did he do? Because he was standing up for truth. We got to stand up for truth and not let that the wrath, you know, the longer we let that wrath, longer we let that hate fester in our heart, the more it's going to come out. It's going to come out on us. And we're going to take it out on others. You know, it's so many folks that's living miserable lives, because they live in a life of bitterness. And we're going to be men most miserable. You know, we're going to be miserable if we live a life like that. And we have to remember, you know, that's the reason why God has the written word. We take it, look at it, and apply it. You know, a lot of times I deal with, there's a lot of people want to apply the word, but guess who they want to apply it to? They want to apply it to everybody else and not themselves. You know, everybody's got a rock. They want to throw that rock. Jesus said, he that without sin, go ahead, see if you can cast that stone. Nobody threw a stone, did they? You know, we need to examine our own hearts. And if you look in the world today, there's so much judging. And we have to be careful of that too, brethren, in the church. Just the way a person looks, the way a person dresses, you know, we got to be very careful not to judge them. God knows that heart and what's coming out of that. But I'm here to tell you today, and I wanted to bring this out before my time's gone. We're living in a society where everybody gets angry about everything. Now, you may go through a McDonald's drive-thru and you know, people get mad at you. You know, people get mad about everything. You know, there's road rage. There's people that get excited. They may not even be, you know, like the way that you're walking down the street, and they get mad about that. You know, I know I'm getting older, and I'm getting a little slower than I once was. Have you ever been in a red light, brethren, and you're sitting there, and in 1 second you can't even get your foot to the gas pedal, and they're blowing the horn? I mean, I had to really work on that. I had to work on that, ask God to help me with it. I mean, I don't even have time to get my foot to the gas pedal. Beep. You know, they're blowing the horn. And so, you know, we have to be very careful about our wrath and what's festering in our hearts. All right, let's look at receive the engrafted word. James 1:21. To receive, you know, to hear it, but to receive it. You know, this morning that you're hearing this word, in just a little while we'll be preaching the gospel message of the hour. You're going to hear a gospel message. You know, a lot of times, you know, as a preacher, I'm standing there and I'm looking, and I said, I don't know if you're listening or not. You know, you could be sitting there smiling, and you could be thinking, you know, there could be other thoughts in your mind, but God knows what's in your heart. You know, you remember what John 4:21, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So when we came in here today, we need to check our spirit. We need to check our heart, and we got to make sure that we are doing that in truth. Because I truly believe with all my heart, we're going to be held accountable how we worship God and how we present ourselves to God. All right, let's look at, someone turn over with me, Psalms 119 and verse 105. You should know that passage. Psalms 119, verse 105. Brother Joel, what time did we go? Psalms 119. Whoever wants to read that, go ahead. Psalms 119. Psalms 119:105. Okay, the word is what? A lamp on our feet. It's going to direct us in the right way, right? It's going to lead us in the right way. It's going to show us the way. But we have to what? We have to let it direct us. We got to let it lead us. The word of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, what does it say? Remember that passage, Hebrews 4:12? Well, the word of God is what? It's powerful, isn't it? Powerful, quick. It's powerful. And the word of God is going to judge us, right? So, you know, we need to get excited about the, you know, the B-I-B-L-E. You know, it starts with the little classes all the way up. You get them excited. You ever seen small children get excited? They need to be excited about the word of God, because that the bringing up and the nurture and admonition of the Lord, that's going to stick with them and going to know that word. You know, we need to encourage. I hear a lot of times that the preacher, and I know there's a lot of young people that make mistakes and do things that they shouldn't do, but I hear so many in the Lord's church, they knock our young people. We need to encourage them, uplift them, and be there for them and share with them and be ready to study the Bible with our young people, because, you know, they're future of the church, aren't they? So we need to share that with them. Look at our next point. We hearers, right? We hearers of the word. But what does James say? You got to be more than hearers. You got to be doers of the word. Brother Dennis, how good is a sermon that we preach? How good is that sermon? As what we take in our heart, don't we? And apply it to our lives and live that. You know, one time I was preaching, and I was trying to bring out a strong point, and, you know, when I was preaching to the person, I wasn't preaching to the person, but I had him in mind with the thoughts that I was bringing to help him in his life, to encourage him, to bring him back, and I was saying that you need to come, you need to repent, and, you know, and to go out and say, man, preacher, let them have it today, didn't you? They don't look at themselves, you know. Hey, I was talking to you. you know, but they want to look at everybody else. And this is what a statement that I've heard many, many years. And people say, I know my Bible, but they're not speaking it correctly. And we got to be very careful when we speak the Bible. We got to speak it correctly. I did a lesson not too long ago that God did not say that. People say, godliness, cleanness is next to godliness. You know how many people think that's in the scriptures? It's not in there, brethren. And I tell you, Brother Dennis, if I tell you later, they're going to know it, but I go ahead. The preacher got up to preach, and he said, okay, brethren, turn to the book of Hezekiah. And all them pages started changing. And they started changing. Said, brethren, y'all need to go back and repent and study again, because there's not a book of Hezekiah. You know, we got to know the word of God, don't we? We got to know it so we can share. If we don't know it, who else is going to teach it right? You know what I'm saying? So we got to teach the right word. Got to be the doers. Okay, you remember James uses the illustration. You know, a man looks into the mirror, sees himself, and then he forgets what manner of man he is. He goes away. You know, you hear the sermon, and you hear it, you got to take it with you. It has to affect your life. If not, you're just sitting there, just hearing it, and it's doing no good. Got to be a doer of the word. You know, in the Bible, it says, let love continue. You got to be a doer of that. It says, heap coal of fire upon your neighbor's head. Do good unto them. You know, Brother Joel called me up. Hey, Brother Michael, I need some help. Oh, I'll get back with you next week. And we got to be ready to be a doer of that word and demonstrate every day of our lives. All right, let's look at our next B. Be not hearers only. Be not hearers only. No, we be doers of the word and not just hearers. My friends, we can talk up a good thing. We really can. We can talk up a good thing. But that's not going to get the work done. You know, you can say you, and I have a lot of brethren, and we have a lot of brethren at Fitzgerald who, you know, give me amens, and I get excited with that, you know. You know, that's the best way to get away, get rid of the preacher. You know that, Brother Dennis. You know, amen him and he preaches after death. You know, but you know, amen's fired up. You know, get you excited, and my friends, but be careful what we amening to. You know, we got to look and see and apply these things to ourselves. You know, I brought this out many times this morning. But I deal with this on a daily basis. A lot of people, they want to take the scripture and they want to make it and mold it and apply it the way that they think that they see it. You know, and you can't do that. You cannot do that with the word of God. Well, let's look at our next point. Be not self-deceivers. Read James 1:22. Let's look at that passage one more time. James 1:22. Somebody read that. Be not self-deceivers. We're deceiving ourselves when we don't just hearing the word and not applying. Is the devil going to try all that he can to deceive you? Can he use the word of God to deceive you? And what did he do in the book of Genesis, chapter 3? How did he bring sin into the world? He deceived. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are right there, all right there in the Garden of Eden, was it not? Eve looked, she lusted upon that fruit. She wanted it, she desired it, and she was prideful with it. You know, and then one thing that stands out, I can't let this go, guys. Listen to this. You know, a lot of times we are like this. We hear the word of God, but no, it's not applying to me. And look at what Adam did. Remember what Adam did? Eve sinned. She was beguiled. Adam also sinned. Well, guess what, Lord? You are the one that gave me that woman. You remember? We want to blame everybody else instead of our own selves. And we can't do that. If the word of God fits me, it's going to fit you. And we have to learn to accept that from the word of God. There's not going to be any excuses on the day of judgment of not knowing the word of God. You know why I know that? Acts 17 and verse 30. At the time of the sickness, God winked at, now commands all men everywhere to repent. Ignorance is not going to be overlooked on the day of judgment. What did he say? He said, we all going to stand. All must stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account of how we have heard, how we have applied, and how we've been doers of the word. Now, we know that we can't never merit our salvation. We can never do enough of works to save us. But God expects us to be a doer of his word. Well, let's look at our next point. A lot of times we overlook this in the book of James and the bees there, but he tells us to be benevolent. I know at Fitzgerald, we do a lot of benevolence work, and I don't know if you ever had this here, but we have a lot of folks that come, and they'll come at worship time, but they don't want to come in worship. They want to wait after worship to get what they want from you. And I tell them, no, you need to come in worship. You need to come and hear the word of God. And we wait. You know, they come in, and then we help them come in to worship service. And one of the things that I've seen since I've been in Fitzgerald, Georgia, there's a lot of religious bodies. I know you have them here. And folks will go to those religious bodies and they will ask, and will you help us? You know what they tell them? This is the honest truth, brother. Go to the Fitzgerald Church of Christ. They'll help you. They send them to us. We try to never turn anybody away. We don't have a lot of funds to do a lot of things, but we try to help folks with all that we can. And then in every bag of groceries, and everything we give, we try to give literature and DVDs on Searching for Truth. We try to have that in there. You got to plant that seed. Be ready. Be ready in that benevolence. Benevolence is one of the greatest works of evangelism. And I pray, I know y'all use that here, but remember that. Benevolence evangelism go hand in hand in helping one another. You never know when someone is needing the help. They're thinking about their belly. They're thinking about their, you know, physical condition. But we should be thinking about their soul's condition. Let's remember that. So let's go back and recap in our last few minutes of today. James tells it like it is, doesn't he? He says, be swift to hear. You know, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath, be receivers of the engrafted word, be doers of the word, and not hearers only. And don't be self-deceiving ourselves when we don't apply the word of God. And we need to be benevolent in sharing God's word every day. One of the things we do in our evangelistic is I will go out, get our sign, right as you come in our driveway of our church building, and I set up a table and I have Bibles out there. And people will come by and want a free Bible. But we'll give them a free Bible. And we've signed up many Bible correspondents that way. Be surprised how many people will stop and get a free Bible. Get that Bible in their hand. And that's a great way to be a doer of the Word of God. One thing, brethren, if you get anything that we said today, please remember that when you study God's Word, you are reading God. You are reading His thoughts and what He expects of us. He's not going to give us anything that we cannot handle. We got to be able to handle the Word of God and to present it in a loving way. We got to present it in a kind way. And brethren, in the church of Christ, Christ's church, upon this rock I will build my church. We got to let people know Jesus is the only way to get to heaven, the only way to live in our lives every day. Anybody have any final things? Any questions? Anything? I just pray that I'm not perfect. You know, I'm a work in progress. But I'm here to tell you one of the biggest things that I'm working on. Me and my wife's been married 34 years, and I still don't listen. I still don't listen like I ought to. Husbands, I know you know what I'm talking about. But we got to listen. My wife said, if you only would have listened, you wouldn't have gotten in trouble. So how many people do you know are getting in trouble because they're not listening to the Word of God? It's right there. We're not going to have any excuse. We're not going to have excuses right there in the Word of God. You said that, brother. I got to go back home. But I appreciate all of you so much. And it's good to see all of you. It's been a long time since I've been here. And it sure is good to see you. And I'm glad, nobody said Michael who, or he died. I really appreciate you. And it's good to see so many. And I hope this lesson has helped you. And I'm looking forward to being here the next days that we have together to present the Word of God. Reach out to folks. Just love folks, brethren. You got to love them. And that's what the Bible teaches. Let's have a word of prayer and then the lesson will be yours. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this blessed congregation of yours, Father. Be with them this week and as they receive your word and the message that we're going to present unto them. We pray that they'll be built up in the faith and show that we love and care about this congregation. And I know they can do many works in your glory, Father. And we appreciate Brother Dennis, the gospel preacher here. May this congregation love him and stand with him as you fight the Satan, as you stand up for the truth. May we never bow down, never give up, and never run away for standing up for the glory and the truth. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your truth. And thank you for your salvation. And most of all, thank you for your beloved Son and the sacrifice that he made for all. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys.